couple of things we want to share this morning. We welcome all of you. I see some faces here that I've just met for the first time. And we just welcome you today. We're so glad you're here. Thanks for taking time to be with us. We love to worship, as you can tell. It's one of the things that we believe God's called us to, is to be a worshiping family. And so we like to do that. Whatever time it takes us to unpackage that, we do it. And so we welcome you into that. We welcome you to our family today. We're glad you're here. We mention the word family a lot. I don't think there's probably a church alive that doesn't mention or use that word family. And so the distinction is unique, as based on every church family you go to. They all look different. They all have a different expression, a different assignment. But I can tell you, as a family here, we're trying to figure out what this whole family thing looks like. And there's going to be times when we're really good at it. There's going to be times when we're not so good at it. But that's the nature of family. And I think what helps us navigate family is when we're willing to love unconditionally, and we're willing to go as far as we can with people that otherwise might not have anyone to go with them in life and journey in life. And so if at times you don't maybe feel like family's walking well with you, give them grace. If there's times when you feel like you can champion the cause of family, celebrate it. I really believe in the years to come, how we celebrate family will absolutely reflect the heartbeat of Jesus over this family here called Crosspoint. How we navigate, that's what I'm trying to say. Because I believe the family church is the future church. I really do. And I think there's a lot of churches in America that are still, even though they might be multiple thousands in attendance, and they might really think they have a mission statement and they've got it dialed in, I think the Lord's looking for way more than just people attending church. I really believe he's looking for people that will try to figure out how they fit in the family, and not only fit into family, but also live for family, love for others, love for the sake of the kingdom and the cause of Christ. So, Father, we just welcome you here today. We thank you for your goodness and kindness. We pray, Jesus, in the next few minutes, you would just honor my heart as we try to package a few thoughts as it relates to the idea of being possessed by your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Just real quickly, I want to make sure you know that we love our city, La Mesa. We love San Diego, and we're really trying to change our world. So we say this often, but we are a church that loves our city, and we want to change our world. That's our mission. So we welcome you today as we really, really jump into something I think is exciting. I went to a Padres game the other night. Yeah, would have been excited, right? I mean, the reality was the game was already over before I even walked into the stadium, you know? Man, got there early enough to go in the outfield and watch batting practice, and as they practice the batting, their swings, they hit the ball in the outfield, you're standing there in the bleachers. And you hope that one of the players from our team or the visiting team will catch the ball in the air, on the ground, whatever, and throw it to you, like as a souvenir, right? And so we'd only been there about 15 minutes or so, and one of the Arizona Diamondbacks players catches the ball, comes over to our area, and we're like, throw us a ball. So he throws us a ball. I catch it. I give it to Cassie, the young lady that took McKenzie and myself to the game. They have season tickets. And so I gave it to her, and then she gave it to McKenzie, right? So McKenzie took a shot of that. Kind of cool at Petco, you can tweet pictures of yourself, and they would take those pictures and then put them on the big Jumbotron. Kind of cool. So you spend the entire 9 innings looking for your picture, only never to be found. Actually, we had one of McKenzie. I spotted that one for you. And there's the one she had of the ball that she'd gotten, which is kind of cool. But, you know, I've been going to baseball games all my life. I grew up in Orange County. And so I went back in the day when they used to be called the California Angels. Not the L.A. Angels. The California Angels. Right? And we used to go, and if some of you might know this, but the big A that's off the freeway there, I forget what freeway that is, but it sits right, what is it? No, it's not the 5. What, 55. I think it's, whatever it is. There's a freeway there. And that A used to be in the outfield. Did you guys know that? It used to sit in the outfield, not on the freeway. It used to sit in the outfield. That's how long ago I used to go to California Angel game when, seriously, it was like, hello, 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 hello. Nobody was there, right? We'd sit on the very top row and make airplanes, paper airplanes, and see if we could hit the field. That's how dynamic they were, right? And I must confess, I grew up watching the Dodgers. That was my team. Still a Dodger fan, I want you to know that. But I'm not a Giants fan. Never will be. Amen. The word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Take that home with you right now. It's yours. Take it. Anyway, I'm at the Padre game, and first inning, top of the first inning, right? They scored 8 runs on us. The game was already over. Like, really? It could have waited until at least like the 7th inning or 8th inning, you know, but the first inning. So it was really just a joy to be there and hang out with Mackenzie and Cassie. And you know, I ate the most beautiful Hodad's burger I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the dude, and you cannot eat one of those things without it just going everywhere. So it was like all over it was just awesome, right? So much for trying to eat healthy that day. And fries. And then I went and got some ice cream. And it was just like, yeah, let's do this thing. So it's the 9th inning, right? And it's 10-0 now. And it's the bottom of the 9th. And there's nobody around us. And so I decided to get up and just kind of stand and watch the game from our seats, because there's nobody around to do that. And I'm on my phone, to be honest with you. And all of a sudden, I'm on my phone, and I hear something to my left. I hear this thunk, thunk, thunk. I look over, and all the years I've been going to baseball games, pro games, I've always wanted to get a foul ball. Well, here it is, the week of my 55th birthday, and I look over, and I wasn't even paying attention, and guess what I found? I got a baseball, right? Yeah, and there was nobody around to fight for it. It was just sitting there. One little kid I could see off in the distance running my way. I looked at him. I go, uh-uh. I will cut you. I was kidding. And I'm like, you ain't taking this ball, bro. And he just stopped, like, turned around, went the other way. It may have taken me what seemed like a lifetime later in my life to get one of these at a pro baseball game. But nevertheless, I got one. It may have come delayed. It may have come later in life. It may have even come, to be honest with you, when I wasn't paying attention at all. But all of a sudden, the Lord dropped something into my life, into my area that I wasn't expecting, and it came. This morning, I want to talk to you about this idea that though it was a first for me, and though it came later in life, it did come. And I want to talk about the promises of God this morning, because I feel like even though a lot of the promises that God's given to us prophetically, biblically, may have yet to be realized, it's time that you and I learn to contend and not be content with where we've been. And not be content with the fulfillment of God's plans for our lives, because like I accepted this gift, if you will, the week of my 55th birthday, I believe that the future, the promises of God, your tomorrow and your future are brighter and greater than you can ever dare to imagine. But many of the things that God's promised over us, and many of the things that we felt like God spoke to us, we've yet to see come to pass. I believe that in the very near future, you're going to see some things come to pass that you weren't expecting. You're going to begin to see some of the things realized that God promised in your life, and they're just going to appear. They're just going to happen. You look and go, wow, when did that happen? Does that make sense? So let's talk about this a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says this. I'm reading out of the NIV, and I'm going to give you a second passage of scripture that is out of the NLT. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command. How many know a command's a command? Like, not a suggestion. I'm commanding you right now. Soldier, son of the faith, I command you, in keeping with the prophecies, say prophecies, spoken about you earlier, may they help you, excuse me, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Say battle well. Fight the battle well. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Now listen to this out of the NIT, the New Living Translation says it this way. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, how many of you this morning have had a prophetic word or something prayed over you in your past that's yet to come to pass? Let me see. So I guess we could agree that based on these words that you've had spoken about you earlier, he says this, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. That's a whole other topic, but I can promise you, we've seen many a people that call themselves Christians, Christ followers, spiritual, supernatural people that want signs and wonders to follow their life. Their faith gets shipwrecked because something in their journey didn't come to pass that they thought should. I want to talk to you this morning about taking that which God's promised through his word and prophetically. And I want you to understand that God wants you to take these things like a weapon in your hand and begin to fight for these things until you see the manifestation, if you will, of the promises of God. Right? Seeing the promises of God fulfilled in our lives requires the spirit of the pit bull. They're seemingly sweet-natured. But when something provokes them, they become tenacious and won't let go of their victim. Just the other day, like week before last, we have a black Pomeranian. You guys know Rocky. If Shirley was here this morning, she would tell you she despises my dog. So he peed on her head one time. Big deal. Minor. Leg, head, body, whatever. It's like, she got peed on, all right? Hold a little grudge against a 12-year-old dog, right? But Rocky's getting old, man. He really is. He can't hear anymore. And it used to be that when he sits at our front door, any dog, anybody that walked by, he'd bark, and he would just take off after him, right? Well, he kind of does that now, like when he's in the mood, right? He's just getting old. But the other day, our neighbor had found this pit bull running around her house. So she had the dog with on a leash walking by her house, and I was sitting in the front of her house just kind of hanging, and she said, hey, have you seen this dog before? I said, no. And she said a few more things and then kept walking by. All of a sudden, I saw this little black flash, so to speak, run by me towards the pit bull. And that dog was super happy. That pit bull was super happy as she was walking him on the leash, and he was licking and just having a grand old time. But the moment he saw Rocky, I kid you not, his personality completely changed. He stopped in his tracks, turned at Rocky, and began to gnarl and began to growl and began. He took on a whole new persona. She could hardly hold him back. The truth is, if she couldn't have held him back, Rocky would be in doggy heaven right now. The pit bull spirit is what God's calling you and I to. He's calling us to take the promises of God and latch onto them and not let go of them until we see them manifested. You know, when that pit bull bites down, the only way they can actually unlock his jaws is they have to pry them open. How many of us are pretty tenacious? Pretty determined? How many of us are determined to really see the fulfillment of God's plans and promises over your life? How many of us are so tenacious that we're willing to be possessed, literally possessed by the promises and blessings of God? I don't know. I mean, I wish I could give you a percentage, but chances are the percentage is fairly small of how many Christ followers really live this type of life. See, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is a lot of Christ followers that want to be supernatural, because that's what we are, they want the supernatural lifestyle without having to fight for what is theirs. They want an inheritance. I mean, you know what an inheritance is. We receive something we didn't work for or earn, right? But when we receive that inheritance, what we do with it is really important. Like if I'm given a house as an inheritance, right? Then if I choose not to do anything with that house, it's just going to sit there. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to live in it. Right? That inheritance isn't worth much to me. Even though culture might say, or real estate market might suggest it's worth, you know, $500,000, $600,000, $100,000, $1 million in San Diego market, if it just sits there and I do nothing with it, what good's an inheritance? See, God's given us an inheritance that he wants us to spend, but the only way we can spend it is begin to understand his nature and begin to fight for the things that's been promised for us, contend for them, bite down, and don't let go until you begin to see the manifestation of God's goodness in your life. Just a thought. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, for the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. What does it mean when we say amen? So be it. Amen's not just a church word. We do a lot of words that sometimes are very churchy, but amen is not just a church word. You hear people say amen when you're watching the Grammys. Like, thank God, amen for my award. And then they just threw down about 5 F-bombs before that. I want to thank God, amen, right? That word amen, in the context of being a Christ follower, means so be it. Exclamation mark. Let it be done. It's all in him, Jesus. So the question is this. How do you fight for your promises? Do they become a fleeting thought or a fading memory? You know God spoke over you, but you can't quite remember what was spoken. Whenever we sense God has spoken to us, his prophetic anointing or empowerment has been released in what he has said. Here are a few ways I think that God can speak, or ways it may come through. He often can speak to us through another person. That's what happens prophetically when someone prays over you and they begin to prophesy over you. They begin to speak things over your life. That's a way that he can speak to us. He can speak to us through a passage of scripture that we're reading. All of a sudden it just jumps out like in 3D and goes, this is for you. Right? And you're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Right? It's there and you know it's for you. Sometimes through anointed prayer, man, people pray for you and it's like, you just know that they're, like, how many times I've had people come up to me after the service and go, why were you speaking to me? Like, everything you said was like, you're looking right at me. Like, no, it wasn't. I really wasn't. That's because sometimes in a message or in praying for someone, all of a sudden you're starting to feel something because it's empowering. There's an empowerment, an anointing in the prayer that God's trying to get your attention, trying to speak to us. Sometimes it's this way. There's this like deep inner knowing, like down the depths of my being, I just know that God's speaking to me. We call it the still small voice of God. But that still small voice comes in the depths of my being, the inner depths of my heart. And sometimes the reason why we can't hear that still small voice is because there's a lot of other voices contending for your attention. So if we want to hear that still small voice, when it mentions small, it's not talking about insignificant. It's just simply saying it's a small voice that you've got to listen real intent to. Because once you hear it, it won't be so small anymore because God's trying to speak to you. So I've heard it said this way in God's trying to speak to us and release a thought prophetically or something over us. I've heard it this way, that the spirit or the the anointing of God that's operating in your life doesn't tell you what will be, but he is creating in you what will be. He's not telling you what will be, like thus and thus and thus and thus. How many times have been prophesied over my life, and the Lord could easily just say, this is what's going to happen. But instead, he begins to speak to the creative part of me, to the nature inside of me, and the word he's speaking is the possibilities that exist in Jesus. That's what the prophetic is all about. That's what it's all about. When we prophesy and we pray over you, we believe that God wants to release something great inside of you. He wants to stir up something inside of you that otherwise couldn't be stirred up. You can watch every show you want to and binge as much as you want to on Netflix, but when God speaks one word over your life, it will stir something inside of you up that causes you to live a completely different life than you had planned. Your trajectory changes, and no longer are you simply living to pay for a paycheck. No longer are you simply living to find that significant one to marry. No longer are you living simply for a position or title. You are now living for the purposes and promises of Almighty God. And it's time that we and us together as a family begin to recognize the importance of fighting, of being possessed by his promises. See, God will not force his nature on you. It's something that must be pursued and experienced. What was it that released King David into his greatness? Think about this one for a moment. After Samuel had anointed him to be king over all of his brothers, the little short King David in the wilderness, you realize it was over a decade from the time, actually about 12 to 13 years, from the time that Samuel took this bottle of oil, of Crisco oil, and dumped it over David's head. It wasn't like today. We've got these cute little bottles that we like to take and we anoint you with oil. It's a nice little spot in your head. And people are like, what's that on my head? If we really did it according to Old Testament standards, we would pour a bucket over you. It would be this smearing, this drenching of God's anointing on your life. And it would go all over your head. And if I had a beard, can't grow one. I got that right there only because that's all I can grow. And someone had the audacity the other day to say, oh, that's really cute. Wow, it's white now. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Real funny. Rolled my window up and caught his finger in the window. No, I'm just kidding. But they were just, it just drenched them. From that moment, 12 to 13 years later, King David became the king. In between that moment of anointing and that time of coronation, David experienced some of the darkest days of his life. But what was it? What was it that motivated him to continue fighting for the truth of that life-altering day? I'll tell you what it was. I believe with all my heart that because of the anointing and because of that coronation, of that anointing that day, I didn't say that well, but of that day, I would imagine that while David was in the field tending the flock, taking care of the sheep, I've got this feeling that as each year that went by, he may have been pondering at times, God, when's this thing going to happen? You said was going to happen that day that Samuel anointed me to be king. It's now 7-8 years into this thing, and I've yet to see even anything close to being the king. Matter of fact, Saul is now trying to kill me. How's that work? I think there's times when David was in those fields tending the sheep that he was reminded and pondering the day, the time, and the moment when the oil flowed down his head, over his beard, down his shoulders, down his body. And I believe with all my heart that Daniel remembered the words that were spoken over him by Saul. You will be the king one day. David had to rehearse in the wilderness, tending his father's sheep time and time again, that who he belonged to, that he was a son of God, that one day the promise would be fulfilled. It took over a decade for him to step into that place of kingship, but he was a king long before he ever, ever took the throne. how easily we take a detour from the divine only to travel down the road of discouragement because we aren't possessed by his goodness and his promises. This thing we're doing in church, we could do the thing that makes everybody happy and keeps everybody coming back. But if we don't preach the truth, if we don't teach righteousness, if we don't teach that God has a standard of conduct and of lifestyle that he wants his sons and daughters to reflect, I can promise you something. We will never be the ecclesia. We will never be the church that God's called out to be sent out to change the world. I don't know about you, but I want to change the world. And I want to change it with you. I want to change it with you. When the Holy Spirit deposits something into our accounts, into our lives, into our spiritual accounts, he's actually placed a weapon in your hands. If he's given you a prophetic statement like King David got, he's given you something to take. Back to 1 Timothy, to take that word and to fight for it and fight with it. Thing is, so many times the words that we get go into a file, they go into a place, they go into like if we don't write them down, if we don't have audio transcribed, if we don't have an audio version of that, that we forget what they were. We can say things like, I remember this word I got one time, it kind of went like this. But how do we war intelligently? How do we war well with a word that we hardly even know? I think God's grace is amazing. His mercy is sufficient. And so we can take that and still fight for it and fight with it. But how much more if you actually know what God prophesied over your life, what his word says about you, can you do good warfare? I guess here's a couple of things. Number one, the promise that you've been given from the scripture, from a prophetic word, there's a couple of things that must be done for this to take place. First of all, you must contend often for your word to possibly come to pass because there's always someone or something that's going to try to steal it from you. How many times you got a prophetic word the very next day, the opposite happens of what's been prophesied over you? Almost every time. How many times do we give up on the word because of what happened the next day? See, we'll never step into the more of God if that's the kind of lifestyle we're living for God. If that's as much as it takes for us to get discouraged, we'll never step into the greater of God as long as we get so discouraged so quickly or when things don't go our way or the way we think they should. Let me wrap this up because I know some of you are probably ready to go. And the second way that we contend for the promises of God is this. You take the promise and you use the promise. This is my promise. I'm going to take this promise now. I'm going to use this promise. I'm going to remind the evil one that you are not defining who I am. I'm defining what God says about me as a son, as a daughter. I'm a child of God. I'm a person of royalty. I am someone that can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength and hope. I'm a person that no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. I'm a person that if I will put my mind and my heart to it and war effectively for the things of God, I will be used of God and I will make a difference in this culture and this world. Stop thinking wrongly about who you are. Stop believing the lie that says you can never do anything because think about your past. Think about where you've come from. Think about the sins of your life. And I just simply say to the evil one, to the devil himself, you are a liar. And the moment Jesus came into my heart, no longer am I the old person. I am a new creation. Remind yourself daily, I'm a new creation. Step into the promises of God because they're yes and what? That's all I have time for. How many of you this morning, whether you completely understand what the prophetic is or what a promise from God's word means to you, how many sense something in your spirit like, yeah, yes, I I really want to step into a new place in my walk with God. I really want to see some of the things that have been prophesied in my past. I want to see them come from my past into my today so I can live my tomorrow in a different way. Right? I feel like I've given you a taste of this, but not the rest of it. There's some things that practically we need to do to contend for those things. But for the now, we'll just leave it right there. Stand with me if you would, please. As you're standing, look up here. I love baseball. I played a lot of ball in my day. Played high school ball. It's kind of funny now. I look at that field and I go, did I really ever play in a field that size? Because it looks so huge now. But high school, same size field, same distance from home to first. And I think back in the day, I could throw a ball from center field home. I could play that. Probably not so much today. Have no arm left. Part of that's war wounds. Part of it's just life. Part of it's just you get old and things change. But it's still only perspective. God wants to give you some new eyes to see today in a whole new world with God, a whole new realm of following after God, right? What I thought I probably would never get did just that. Just a few nights ago, I was awakened with the reality that it may not have come up to this point in my life, but now I've gotten that. I've gotten the gift. And now the Lord wants you to keep contending for that which you've yet to see become your reality today or tomorrow or next week or even 10 years from now, like King David. So pray with me, would you? Father, I just pray in your awesome name, as we leave here today, we would believe that the greater things have been prepared for us, and that God's not going to force the greater things on us, but he wants us to go after the gifts that he's prepared, to contend, be possessed by his promises. That revival culture, an atmosphere where signs and wonders happen, an atmosphere like what happened today when Pastor Craig came up and gave some words of what we call knowledge out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And they called out some things. Some of you got touched by the hand of God because of that supernatural touch. That's not going to decrease in the months and years to come. That's going to increase in the church. Not just Cross Point, but across the land, we're going to begin to see more and more of that. Why? Because sons and daughters are going to begin to step more into their identity and begin to believe that the promises of God, which are yes and amen, are going to be fulfilled. So you are not an outcast. You are no longer an orphan. You have been adopted by your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have been adopted into his family. And because of that, you get all the rights and privileges of the heavenly realm here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. So God, I pray this. Now here's the prayer I want to leave with today. If that's you today, you're like, you know what? I want to walk in a different place, a new level of the supernatural. And I also want to be better at contending for and believing for the promises of God to become reality in my life. If that's you, I want you to lift up a hand. Just as a statement of fact, like, yeah, that's me. So Father, you see the hands that have been raised. I thank you for those hands. Now I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, where all truth is found, I pray that you will fulfill the desires of their heart, not just in the moment, but as we leave here today and get back into a routine, back into jobs, back into parenting, back into being a spouse, back into whatever it is, a student. I pray that the moment we begin to feel opposite what we feel in this moment, that you remind us of who we are and that we pray a simple prayer. Father, I want to possess your promises in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hope this made sense to you today. We're to be a warring church, but we're also to see the fruit of our warring, right? So you go in the goodness of God today, go in the peace of God, and may your tomorrow and your week be the greatest week you've ever had, ever, right? In Jesus' name, say amen with me. What's that mean? So be it. Right?